will be interjecting while we bring some information to you, courtesy of Pew Research Center, about our precious fathers. Man, I tell you what, and I do take my hat off to the many people who don't even need any special motivation to realize that there are many, many fathers who are precious, doing an outstanding job, just like there are many mothers who are outstanding and doing a great job with family. But let's go ahead, because sometimes added motivation is needed. We can dig that. We understand it. We accept it. So let's go. We talked about how one of the differences occurring right in front of us is that fewer and fewer fathers are the only income earners in their families. Definitely have children who are working, and they may be paying for their own automobile insurance or in some kind of way helping to keep the family moving forward. But definitely we have a situation now wherein, whereas decades ago, the father was the only one who worked to keep things going, you know, to provide for the family financially. Now, the mothers are working too. Now, that said, you know, we do a lot of forward thinking on this program. Very, very important, I think. Let's look back and see if that might help us look forward. Do you remember the time when, even in America the Beautiful, not only in America the Beautiful, but also in America the Beautiful, we had mothers as well as fathers working during the industrial, just before the Industrial Revolution, before we had labor unions? In fact, partly because of some of the abuses in the workplace, we had labor unions to come into existence to address abuses in the workforce, in the labor force. But remember, it wasn't super, super long ago that we had a situation wherein fathers and mothers and children were working to bring money into the household so that the family could survive. Not so they could get rich, so that the families could survive. And that was happening all across America. The fathers and the mothers and the children. And I do mean the children. I don't mean 17-year-old children. I mean children who were working and were working hard. Some of this was going on farms, whether you're talking about slaves working the farms, whether you're talking about indentured servants working the farms. You had, whether you're talking about families working in factories. For years, we had whole families working to keep the family alive. And that's how child labor laws, that's why child labor laws came into existence and so forth. And then eventually, over time, we got to the point where the father alone could earn enough income to take care of the entire family. And again, not necessarily get wealthy, not necessarily become rich, but could certainly take care of the entire family. Even if they had 3, 4, 5 children, the father's income alone was enough. Then, of course, the decision was made to change the way things were going, and incomes were kept down low while the cost of living continued to escalate. And the next thing you know, it became necessary for women to enter the workforce again, even if they preferred not to. Again, to keep the family going. Her income, the mother's income, the wife's income became necessary to help keep more families out of poverty. Now, of course, we know that we're seeing, especially after the decisions were made that led to, that brought about the Great Recession of 2008, 2007, 2008, 2009, which we're only being allowed to slowly recover from. We have young adult children working whatever jobs they can get, many of them, not all of them, but quite a few, working whatever jobs they can get while living with the parents. More and more young people, young adults, adults in their 30s, moving back in with the parents, or younger ones never having left, never having truly moved out because of the financial situation. So again, we're seeing children, they're older children right now, working along with mom and dad to keep things going. And we know that no matter how much we talk about the need to increase incomes and allow incomes to keep up with, really it should be a little ahead of, but at the very least, keep up with the increased cost of living. You suppose we'll see any changes in the next 10 years? Will the people who make those decisions start taking the wages up so that minimum wage will be where it should be, median wage should be where it should be, and people no longer have to struggle just to keep their heads above water? No one should have to live that way. Now, it's one thing for people to choose to live that way, but to force people to live that way. Do you think that with all of the anger that is being expressed now as we move towards another presidential election, do you think that we'll begin to see people doing a better job, the decision makers doing a better job of paying people truly livable wages, fair salaries? Or do you think that we'll continue to see income inequality grow? So, at one time, oh, by the way, and that, with that question in mind, if indeed income inequality continues to grow, expand, escalate, do you think that we'll ever again see the day when it takes the entire family, father, mother, and young children, again, in the workforce, working, just to keep the family alive? Do you think we need to be concerned about the ongoing efforts to pull more money, by the efforts by many to pull more and more money out of the public school system? The middle class is receiving less and less wages. You have some people in the middle class moving up into the upper class. You have some in the middle class moving into the lower class, becoming poverty stricken. As that continues, and we also continue to experience the ongoing efforts of many to pull more money out of the public school system, which system educates the vast majority of America's citizens. They can't get the education because they can't afford to pay for private school. And remember now, we have people who have dedicated themselves to making it extremely difficult for people who want to go to college to be able to afford to go to college. We have many people who have devoted themselves to doing everything in their power to reduce the number of scholarships that people can receive, the number of grants that people can receive, especially to the extent that the government can make an investment in our citizens by paying their college tuition for them, knowing that when the people have a college degree, college education, they're able to do more, they're able to make more money, and as a result, contribute more to society financially. It would be an investment. And that's not hard for anyone to see. But we have people who have been working hard for decades to make it harder and harder and harder for people to get financial assistance so that they can attend college, get a good degree, get a good education, and position themselves to do well in life, career-wise and money-wise. And at the same time that we're seeing people work diligently to reduce people's opportunities to pay for college education, we also have people fighting to pull money out of the secondary school systems all across the country. It becomes harder and harder and harder to get good jobs when you have very limited education. So again, I want to ask, with all of that going on, as well as the ongoing attempts to expand and increase income inequality, do you suppose there's a chance that at some point in the future, we will revert to having both parents and the youngest of the children who are old enough, strong enough to go out and work? What will happen if people start talking about child labor abuse, let's say 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Will we be able to get it reversed?